Will you join me in word of affirmation of faith? We, who are gathered in Bellevue Christian Church, confess that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God, and proclaim Him Lord and Savior. We believe the mission of Bellevue Christian Church is to worship God by gathering weekly around the Lord's table and committing ourselves to Christianity, to seek the Lord God and to make God known through study and teaching of the Scriptures, and to create a loving faith community that invites and cares for all hearts of God's people. Our call to worship this morning is John 4, 10, then 13 through 14. Jesus answered her and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water."
Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life."
Please stand.
Y'all may be seated. Happy 4th of July as we celebrate our independence, and we thank God for that. Because truly, those who are free in Christ are free indeed. I want us to lift up those on our prayer. We have a couple to add. We want to continue to pray for the Rowe family, Larry Shelton, Donna Hale. Also want you to pray for Marge Swenson, that is Marie's mom, and she had some kind of episode that she had to go to the hospital, so Marie has gone there, so keep her in your prayers. And also my sister, Judy Smith, who you all met a few weeks ago, she just got back from church camp, spending a week there with a bunch of kids, and now she's in the hospital. She's got pneumonia. I mean, who gets pneumonia in this time? But she's got some health issues, so she was feeling real bad, and so she went to the doctor, and they immediately sent her to the hospital. And she's feeling better today, and we want to continue to lift her up in prayer. So add those two. And are there any other prayer requests that we can lift up right now? Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that as we come together, we're not just coming just to do something that is just form and not just ritual, but what we do now is relationship with you. We're thankful that we can come to you as our Father, knowing that you care for us. Things may not always go the way that we want, but we still know this. We know you love us. You care for us. So we come to you asking for your touch on the lives of these that we've mentioned. We pray for comfort, for strength, for healing, and most of all for the peace that passes all understanding, that each one will know of your love, your grace, your strength. And we thank you, Lord, that you invited us to pray. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through anybody, but come directly through Jesus Christ. We thank you for that invitation and that you taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
tonight is number 321, Break Thou the Bread of Life.
When Jesus first instituted this he told his disciples before he had died. He told his disciples, "This is my body. Take, eat, and as often as you do this in remembrance of me." So right now, take a look at that picture and remember Jesus and his sacrifice. In like manner, it says he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, the New Covenant. Drink, and as often as you do it in remembrance of me." Together, thanks be to Christ
for the bread of life and the cup of salvation.
At this time, let us pray for the offering. We give you thanks, Lord, for the blessings that you've bestowed on us. And as we have the opportunity to give back, this really isn't a gift to this church. It's a gift to your kingdom, for your work to advance, for you to be glorified. So bless each gift and the giver, we pray, in Christ's name.
reading this morning is John 6, 22 through 40. Please turn in your Bible if you would so like. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there were no other boat there, except the one in which the disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate the bread, after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into the boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see and believe you? What work will you do?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All the Father gives me will come to me, and the ones who come to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Amen. How many of you like to celebrate? Oh, yeah. I heard a rousing amen there. I mean, we like to celebrate. We got so many celebrations. We celebrate Christmas. Oh, there's a lot of celebration goes on Christmas. They start now in October getting you ready, you know. You know, all the different sales. I'm surprised it doesn't happen after July 4th. Now, I got to say this, though. I guess I'm kind of guilty of celebrating Christmas too long, because I just found out yesterday that on the voice message, at the end of my message, it says, or the greeting, it says, "Merry Christmas." Now, okay. Well, now I'm actually closer to Christmas 2021 than I am to 2020. So, but I'm going to change it. But, you know, we like to celebrate. And this 4th of July, we celebrate. We celebrate freedom. I'm getting pretty tired of the fireworks in my neighborhood. I mean, it's Davidson County. They're illegal. But they've been going for about 12 days. We've had storms. We got a guy with a loud car with no mufflers on it and fireworks. And I got one little dog that is just so terrorized right now. And so anyhow, but it's celebration, I guess. We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate anniversaries. We quit counting birthdays when we get to a certain age, you know, but we celebrate. We celebrated something. You know, a lot of times people don't think about the Lord's Supper as a celebration. You know, we think of being somber, reverent. I'm not saying reverent is bad or anything, but it really is a celebration. Now, when Jesus was telling his disciples about it, they weren't seeing the celebration because they hadn't seen the death, burial, and resurrection. They hadn't contemplated that. But now, we look back and we can see there is cause for celebrating because Jesus died for us. He paid the price for our sins. He was buried and he rose again victoriously over the grave. That is celebration. But see, before that event happened, people were struggling with the idea. Well, how would this be something that we're supposed to continue to remember? You know, right before he died, he's instituting this to his disciples, and they're like, what? What's this mean? What? But then, even before that, in the passage that we're looking at, there were people who were following Jesus, and they just weren't getting it. So he goes into this part, and he's talking about how he is the bread of life. Now, there's a timeline here. On the following day, when the people were standing on the other side of the sea. On the following day of what? Oh, this is an interesting timeline. There was the feeding of the multitude. This is the following day. And in between it was Jesus walking on water to his disciples. So this is that following day. So all these people, they have been fed really well the night before. Have you ever ate so much that you thought, oh, I ate so much, I'm not going to eat for a week? Now, if that was like 6 o'clock at night, and you ate so much you're not going to eat for a week, when's the next time you eat?
Next morning.
That's right. Maybe if not before, go get a snack, you know, because we're hungry again. So now these thousands of people, they were there being fed. You know, said 5,000 men, also women and children. Probably 15, 20,000 people. And Jesus sent his disciples away in a boat. He went to the wilderness upon a mountain to pray. And they go out into the boat. You know, we talked about this. There was a storm. They were afraid. And they see Jesus walking on the water to them. The next morning, that's where we are. So these people are coming to look for Jesus. They're like, where'd he go? So we read on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw there was no other boat there, except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after he had given thanks, When the people saw Jesus was not there nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum to seek Jesus. Now, they couldn't find him where they thought he was. And it's kind of blowing their mind. Well, how did he get to Capernaum? And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Now, Jesus gives an answer that makes me feel like he knew the real question in their mind. When's breakfast? You know, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Now, he says, "You seek me not because you saw the signs." That makes me think that it was a sign that they missed. That when he was feeding that multitude, it was like, "Oh, we're so hungry. Oh, we got food." And it's like a sign that they missed. They just weren't getting it. That's a good phrase for so much of what was going on with his followers. They just weren't getting it. Well, I think it could be used of us today, too. Sometimes we just aren't getting it. You know, so anyhow, it was a sign that they missed. They were so busy eating that they kind of missed it. And, you know, we looked at last week how the 12 even struggled with it. You know, probably they were upset that he didn't send the multitudes away before. I don't know what was going on, but it's like they just weren't getting it until they were in this storm. Saw Jesus walking to them on the sea. So there were all these other people that were following him. They were like saying that they were disciples, which, by the way, you know, a disciple is a follower. So when we say we're disciples of Christ as a group, we're followers of Christ. That's what it's about, being a follower of Christ. And so they were said to be disciples of Jesus. But he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Now, Jesus isn't saying, "Go quit your jobs. Oh, don't worry about food. You know, just be thinking of the spiritual food." He's not saying don't eat. Praise the Lord. We would not last long. We'd go to heaven, but we would not last long. And so, but he's saying put your main focus on the spiritual food. That we get so focused, and what the point he's making, we get so focused on the temporal that we don't see the permanent. We get so focused on the things that are going on in this world that we don't see the things that are coming in heaven. We get so focused on the problems, and there's enough of them for us to get drawn into and pulled into, and the evils in this world, that we don't see the glory that is going to take place when we're in the presence of the Lord, where all that stuff is gone. So Jesus is really saying, don't just put your focus on this temporal, put it on the permanent. Put it on the eternal. Now then, they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" That's an interesting phrase to me. What must we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." So here they're saying, what do we have to do to work the works of God? See, they were thinking of all the things that they had to do. So if we do this, are we good enough? If we do this, are we good enough? If we do this, are we good enough? Folks, we need to strive to do the will of God. But let me tell you, if it's all about all the good deeds we do, we're going to come up short. Makes me think of the story of the preacher who preached faithfully, lived a faithful life. He dies and he goes up to the pearly gates. And St. Peter's always in the story, you know. And so Peter says, "Tell me why you should come to heaven." The preacher says, "Well, I did this, 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 I did this. I taught Sunday school. I preached sermons faithfully. I baptized so many people." And on he went. And he got up to about 897 things. And then Peter says, "What else?" He says, "What else? It must take the grace of God to get into this place." And he goes, "That's it." And that is it. The grace of God. They weren't getting that. They weren't understanding. They were thinking it was work this, work this, work this. So then, there was that sign they missed. Therefore, they said to him, "What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you?" What? He fed you. He gave you this food miraculously, and you didn't see it. And the point has been made. I've made it. It's in the scriptures that, hey, we can have signs, and all we want then are more signs. That's the element of faith in the Lord. So, the sign that they missed, more signs, they insist. They won't believe unless they see more signs. What sign will you perform? You see, so many people want Jesus to perform. So many people want the church to perform. You know, there's so much of a mentality of consumerism in the church. It's almost like, what store am I going to go to? I'm going to go where I get, you know, this and that. And, you know, I guess everybody's got things that they like, and that's fine, as long as we realize the main thing, that it's not about the packaging that takes place in the building. It's about the focus on who Jesus is. That's what it really comes down to. See, it doesn't matter if it's a contemporary church that's got all the instruments in it and people are waving their hands all over the place and they're feeling so good. And that's fine if you know what the main thing is. It's not about, wow, I really feel like I was at church today. It's not about that feeling. It's about knowing Jesus and knowing that He is your Savior. So, you know, we get so caught up in performance. And so they suggested one to Him because, again, I think they're hungry. They're still trying to talk Him into breakfast. And they said, "Moses." Here's a sign you could do. Moses gave manna in the desert. Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So, come on, Jesus. Perform. Do that. Drop that manna from heaven that we may eat. Then Jesus redirects their thought. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. But my Father, who actually was the one who gave the bread from heaven, manna, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, give us this bread always. Always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He believes in me shall never thirst. Now, they're hearing this. He's saying, I'm the bread of life. The reason that I picked as the call to worship the story of the woman at the well, or the, not the story, but the testimony of what took place with the woman at the well, was it was kind of the same context. Matter of fact, in this gospel, if we read on past the verses that we're looking at today, he even refers it to being living bread. So we say, thank you, Lord, for the bread of life and the cup of salvation. We don't have to say that, by the way, to have that on our heart. But it's okay to have some things that help us just focus, that help us just zero in on, yeah, this is what it's about. So, I want to go a little bit past the verses that we read. I'm not going to read 50 more verses, but I am going to lift out a few things. You all read through it later. But the third thing we see, they resisted him, the sign they resisted. So we have the sign they missed, more signs they insist, and the sign they resist. I don't know why I'm doing it this way today, but it just kind of popped out to me as I was studying this. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? So some of those that were following, that were wanting to be there for the show, they were wanting the performance, they were wanting the food, they're saying, he says he's the bread that came down from heaven. How can that be? We know he is Joseph and Mary's kid. How could this be? And they're kind of rolling their eyes and they're like getting aggravated. What is this that we follow? See, they have totally not noticed some of the truths about Jesus. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. By the way, Sometimes people say, wow, this is a verse to struggle with. He draws, unless God draws you. Well, Jesus died for everyone who would receive him. What's it mean he draws them? Well, if you are out in a lake and I am close enough and you're flaying your arms and you're having a hard time, I'm close enough to throw a life ring out to you with a rope on it and I toss it out, you have a will here to grab hold of it and I draw you in. So the invitation is there from God. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. So there, living water, living bread, Jesus is saying, in me is eternal life for all who would eat it. Now, the Jews were struggling with this. They quarreled among themselves saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And so, here is the Son. They dismissed. They didn't want to hear anymore. And if you read a few more verses, you just see that they left. I remember two preachers. I was at a preacher's fellowship 40 years ago, I guess. I know it surprises you I can remember anything from 40 years ago, but there are a few foggy things. But we were at a preacher's gathering, and these two preachers got to talking about the Lord's Supper and really got into an argument. And one was saying, it is the body and the blood of Jesus. And the other one said, well, you know, it represents the body and blood of Jesus. I mean, I'm talking Christian church preachers, you know, and it's like, okay, what they're saying is, how can he give us his flesh? He wasn't talking literally. I don't think he's talking literally. This does not become the literal body and blood of Jesus. Now, the Catholic Church teaches that, transubstantiation, and that is not true. I'm going to tell you a story I already told you just because it really drives in this point. Remember telling about the lady that came out and said, you know, I was raised Catholic and I spent the last several years in the Church of Christ. And you say that it's emblems that represent, and says, I really struggle with that. And I pulled my wallet out and I said, this is my son, Jason. And she said, yeah. I said, but that's not my son. She says, huh? Yeah, I know your son, that's your son. I said, no, it's a picture of him. And she goes, oh, I get it. Here we go. It's a picture of what Jesus did for us. He said, remember it by partaking of this. So anyhow, they weren't getting it. They were getting upset. And they dismissed. And I like what he says a few verses later to the 12. He says, do y'all want to leave too? Peter responds, Lord, we know you are the Christ. Where would we go? Where would we go without Jesus? What would we do without him? The most important decision we could ever make. We will spend a whole lot more time in eternity than we will here on this earth. I always want to give an invitation. It's a good possibility that everybody here knows Christ as their Savior, that you've accepted him. There's also a good possibility that somebody here is struggling in their faith, and there's a possibility that there are things going on that none of us knows about. We just want the invitation to be open for you to accept Christ as your Savior, to repent of your sins, to be baptized, to arise, to walk in a newness of life, which the Scripture says all that. And we invite you. We also invite you, if it's to join with this church, or if it's just to come and say, you know, preacher, I've got something going on, I'd just like you to pray. Hey, we'll do that right now. We'll keep singing, and we'll do prayer right now if that's a need. Invitation is open. If you got something that you need to do business with the Savior this morning, just know this. He is the bread of life. He is your source. Nothing else out there in the world is. It's Jesus. He's your source. Let's turn to our hymn of invitation. And let's stand and sing. Number 586. Are being challenged, especially in regards to our faith. We pray for your protection. We pray for your strength to all those who are believers, who who may have situations that's challenging their faith in this world, and just give them the strength, the faith to continue on. We want to glorify you, Lord. Thank you that you've brought us together as a congregation. We are a church that carries your name, and we want to glorify you. So, Lord, I pray your blessings on us, that you would increase our faith, increase our number, and do it all for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.